really talk to you about something that God stirred on my heart yesterday. And it really birthed a knowledge and an understanding and a revelation in me. And I really feel like it's for some people in here. It might not be for all of you, but I believe it's definitely for some people in here. God, I feel like, is calling us to be a people that believe life when we see, when we're told, or even when we have death in areas. Now, you could talk to a natural person and they would never understand that comment at all. Because in the natural, we have life and we have death. But in the spiritual, we are called to be people that see things different than we see them in the natural. So I believe that God is really stirring up in some of our hearts. This is what God is really challenging and stirring up in my heart, is to be accountable in my own life in areas where I see death, where I see signs that death is coming. And that can be in a lot of different areas. I just jotted down a few right here, and some of these, you know, totally are in my area. A lot of times that the enemy comes and he shows us through natural eyes death in our health. It could be death in areas of mobility, death in areas of ways that God wants us to be able to live and walk and operate. And I believe that the enemy comes and shows us death in our kids, in their relationships, in their lives, even to the point of their grades or their hopes for their future. I believe that the enemy targets death in our joy, in areas of our life that God has blessed us and given us. He'll come into those situations and he'll make them look so death-filled. He'll make them look so unfruitful. Also, we see a lot of death in relationships with God in our life. And what I mean by that is there's places in our life where if we don't stay accountable, we allow a process of death to come into that relationship with God in different areas. I believe that there's areas in our relationships with our loved ones with God that God is calling us to be aware of and to be vigilant of if we see signs of death there. In relationships, in emotions, in self-esteem. These are all areas, but there are so many where the enemy can come in and he can start to birth signs of death in those areas. Now, I'm going to tell you what life means. Life's just a definition. If you just Googled it up, it would say life is a condition or state of something that is growing. It's something that has the ability to reproduce or the ability to bear fruit. It's something that shows health or signs of a positive vitality. Those are just the simple, natural ways that when you look at something, you can see that life is in it. But then you have the opposite of that, and it's death. Now, death in its form is the sign and act of a permanent ending. So what that means is when death comes, the natural state of death means it's over. But there's many signs that are given in all different areas that lead up to death. So I want to just highlight a few of these signs that show you that death is coming in areas. The signs of weakness, of being fragile, of bareness, of barrenness, of decaying. They say a person, when it's getting to the end of their life, they become confused in their thoughts. They say that an organism or something in its function, it becomes chaotic in the way it acts or reacts. Withdrawals or begins to wither. It looks, appears, and begins to react very unhealthy. All of those things are signs that there is a death near to the end of where that is heading. And I feel like it's very important that we think about those things in this season to be able to know if these areas of our life are bearing life or if they're bearing fruits of death. Me and my husband, we had a plant in our yard for the last 2 years. And this plant is a tree, and we've loved this tree. But for the last 2 years, we've watched this tree kind of wither up. We've watched it become very fragile to the point to where it's any wind, any storm, it would lose its limbs, it would lose its bark, it would lose all of its leaves. It usually produces flowers every year. The last 2 years, it had stopped producing flowers. Until not too long ago, me and my husband both walked out in the yard, and that tree was completely dead. But the tree, I want us to notice is, for the last 2 years, has been showing signs that death was coming. And that is so important for all of us to really be aware of in our own life, is we show signs. What we are connected to is bearing fruit, or it's not. What we are connected to is being healthy, it's being vital, or it's withering, or it's shrinking. And so it's extremely important that what we do is that we notice what God is wanting us to notice tonight. In John 10:10, this is what the Bible says. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So any area in your life that is withering, that seems to be drying up, that does not produce good fruit, that is an area of your life where the enemy is trying to instill death. And we've just got to be aware of that. Church, we've got to be aware in our own personal lives of where we are not thriving and where we are not living out life that God offers to us. God's desire is in every area of our life for us to have life. But the enemy wants to come in and cause us to settle on death. He wants us to come into these situations and convince us this is the way it has to be, to convince us this was God's plan, or to convince us this is just the way that it's going to be. And when he does, we stop fighting for life. And I'm going to tell you, I am just as accountable to that as you guys are. Because there's a whole lot of areas we are connected with. How many of you agree with that? There is a whole lot of areas that we are connected with. But God has given us the ability to be good stewards of that. But even more than that, God has given us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches us how to see in the Spirit and how to not see in the flesh. This is the situation that we found Hannah in Samuel 1. I'm going to turn over there just for a little bit. Because in Hannah's situation, Hannah found herself in a predicament. She found herself in a place where her body was producing death. Her body was barren. Now, you can say that was Hannah's fault. You can say that that was because Hannah had sinned. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of times that I personally am not connected to the vine. And when I am not, it is my sin that has caused me not to be fruitful. But there's a lot of times the enemy just comes in and he says things that he tries to get us to come into agreement with death in areas of our life. It don't matter. It don't matter if it's your fault or if it's the devil's fault. The enemy's plan is to bring death in every area of your life. But God's plan is to bring life. It's to bring life. It's for things to be fruitful. It's for them to multiply. It's for them to be healthy. It's for your children. It's for your husband. It's for your job. It's for all of that to beat the juices of life inside of it. And for people around you to say, man, God is involved in that. But the enemy's intent is to try to convince us that death is our lot. Now, if he came to us and said, oh, I'm trying to kill this, I'm trying to destroy this, we would instantly say no. But let me tell you, just like that tree, there are signs of death in a lot of areas of our life, in a lot of areas of my life, that I am just negligent or I just refuse to acknowledge. And we find Hannah in this situation right here. And what's happened is her body is producing death. Her body is telling her, your seed will not produce life. You will not produce life out of your body. And there was nothing Hannah could do physically to change that. And I'm going to tell you, in most of the areas that we are connected with, there is nothing we can do physically to change it. There's just not. I was talking to somebody just about 30 minutes ago, and I said, you know, she was like, oh, I just feel. I said, you can't change what you feel. God can. And the truth is, we can change our thoughts, but if they're not God's thoughts, we will become in such a bondage even to our own thoughts that we are in a whole nother level of bondage. We just shifted bondages from here to here. God is the only one that is called to bring life into every situation that we're connected to. So what I love about Hannah is, even though everything that Hannah saw was death, Hannah's friend, sister, co-wife, I don't know what you would call that, whatever that was going on there, even sung songs of death over her. Her husband, which was a very godly man, you can tell by the way that he would faithfully bring his family to the house of God. He would stand by her and he would build her up. But he even tried out of what he could not believe God to change, tried to get her to compromise with death in her body. He said this, and this is such a funny statement because this is such a man statement. All right? This is what he said. He said to Hannah, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? I can't read that scripture without almost laughing. Because that is a way a man thinks of a lot of times. You know, am I not better to you? Yes, we love our husbands. We love our men. Yes, we do. And men, you love your wives and you love your spouse. But here's what I'm telling you. Hannah was not displeased because her husband did not meet her needs. Hannah was not going to settle with death in her life. Hannah was not going to compromise with death in her children. Hannah was not going to settle with less than what God had promised her. Because see, here's what God had promised Hannah. In Genesis 9:7, and it's the same promise God gave to you. He said, and as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply it. God's commandment, God's promise is that we be fruitful and multiply. And let me tell you something. That went against everything that Hannah saw in life. That went against everything that Hannah could see. That stood against the death that was in her body. But what Hannah did was she held on to that promise. And she made a decision. I will not see death here. Even though it looks like death, even though it seems like death, even though it feels like death, Hannah decided, I will not see death creep in. I see the signs of it coming. I see the withering away of my hope and my dreams for ever birthing children. I see all of that. And she refused to believe and to compromise with death in any area of her life. And I'm going to tell you, church, we have got to be that way. We compromise way too much on what God has said over us because it's easy. A lot of times it is easy to believe the wrong things about ourselves than to start fighting to believe the right things about ourselves. It is easy to have a pity party with everybody else in your family. It is easy for me to have a pity party with everybody in my family than to be the one that says, I'm not okay with this, because this is not life. But God's purpose in your life, in every area, is life. And the enemy's purpose is death. So it don't matter. matter what area you're involved in, if you don't see the vitality, the health, the strength, the signs of God's involvement in it, you have got to stand against death and say, there will be life here. Because God has promised He came to bring life, and not just life, but life more abundantly. That means more life than you should even have in that moment. And we have to stand and believe in that. But one reason that a lot of times that we choose to not stand against death is because our hearts are not examined, and we have not allowed the Holy Spirit to reveal what's in our hearts. Psalms 139:1 says, O Lord, You have examined my heart, and You know everything about me. Guys, we have to be good stewards of what's inside of us. What that means is we've got to be watchful, and we've got to take notice to where we are not bearing good fruit. It says in Proverbs 21:2 that people may be right in their own eyes, but it's the Lord that examines their heart. You can't know what's right, but God can. You have that safety net there. That's not condemnation. That's a safety net for you. God is saying, listen, if there's an area of your life that's not being blessed, that's not bearing fruit, if there's an area of your life that you do not see the blessings of God on it, let me examine this. Open this up to me. Let me in. Let me search. Let me show you. Because God's desire is to show us where the enemy is trying to breathe death into what God has promised life into. But we have to be good stewards, and we have to stand before God and say, all right, God, just like David did, just like Solomon did, time and time again, examine my heart, God. See what's in me. See what could be causing things around me to dry up. What could be causing my security to be not strong in this situation? And then you've got to trust God that when He shows it to you, that it's for your good. That it's for your good. I want everybody just to take 1 second and close your eyes. Because I think it's real important that we let God just show us an area. So I want us to just ask the Holy Spirit, just in your own words, just say, Holy Spirit, speak to me about an area that are showing signs that death could be near. Speak to me about an area that are not showing signs of life. Speak to me about an area, about a relationship, where it's weak, or where it's fragile, or where there's things that are decaying, and I don't want them to, but I don't know how not to. Lord, show me in my life. Maybe God is showing you an area where confusion is in your thoughts, or there is chaos in your purpose in that area of your life. Or I'm just going to be really open with you. Man, God really is revealing to me right now areas where I'm withdrawn. There's a lot of areas in my life I'm withdrawn. And withdrawn is not healthy. Withdrawn for the wrong reasons is not life. So God, show me signs where I'm withering. Show me signs where my family, my loved ones, My concerns and my cares are withering. Show me where there's unhealthy parts of my life that You want to examine. And I'm honest, I'm just going to give you about 2 minutes. And I know that seems like a long time, but I want you to let God examine your heart. And let Him speak to you. God has revealed an area to you, raise your hand. So just so I'll kind of get a good estimate. give about a minute longer. Because I'm going to tell you, withering and decaying and all those things, it's just the way the enemy works. It doesn't mean you don't please God. And a lot of times it doesn't mean it's your fault. You haven't opened up that door. But even so, we're called to let God examine our areas. Because God's desire is for every part of our life to be life-filled and healthy and vital. God reveal an area to you? Man, every time I do this, and I've been doing this for the last couple of days, but God's been dealing with me in this area. You know, where are areas, God, that I can see signs that there's a wrong road. The word death is not, but I'm telling you, the Bible uses the word death all throughout it. And we've got to know that there are things that are either birthing life or birthing death. And they're headed in one direction. But God's promise to us is that He wants to give us life. But the responsibility on us is we can't settle with it like that. We can't stay here saying, well, it will change if you want it to, God. I'm going to tell you this morning, I mean tonight, God wants it to change. His desire is for that in your life to change. That is His desire. But the truth is, you can't change it. You can't change it. You see, this is where we found Hannah and her husband. They could not change that situation. They could not cause life to be in her body. But this is where Hannah's husband stepped up. And it said that in Samuel, 1 Samuel 1:3, that this man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. I'm going to tell you, that scripture right there is a phenomenal scripture. Because that is the first time that God ever revealed His name as the Lord of hosts. And just until this year, God has just started to expand in my life what that means. But I'm going to tell you, there's a reason God revealed His name as Lord of hosts to Hannah. It's because that death was trying to creep in to something that God wanted to burst life through. You know what came out of Hannah? Samuel. Samuel came out of Hannah. Samuel who anointed Saul. Samuel who anointed David. Samuel came out of what the end. Whatever the death is, the enemy's plan is to stop what God is wanting to birth out of you. But that's where you see Hannah's husband wise. And he comes and he hears God. The way I know he heard God is because that name had never been used before. And God came and revealed Himself as the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth. And I'm going to tell you, that is one of my favorite names. That name is powerful. The Lord of hosts, the word host there is armies. So what that means is the God of heaven's armies. You need to know that you have a God that destroys the enemy. You need to know that when you face a situation and it seems like death, that you can call on the Lord of hosts and He will answer you in your time of need. This is what Amos says about the Lord of hosts. It says, "For behold, He who forms mountains and creates wind and declares to man what are his thoughts. He who makes dawn into darkness and treads on high places of the earth. The Lord God of hosts is His name." You have a God who has an arsenal of spiritual angels that are ready to be disposed when you need it. You read all throughout the Bible, if someone needed aid and they cried out to God, He sent it. And that is the exact same situation we find Hannah in. Death was standing in between her and what God was trying to do through her. And so in that moment, her husband let God reveal to him, "Hey, I am bigger than this problem right here. I speak life. I don't speak death." And when Hannah came into connection with this part, a place, and this warring side of God, what we see that came out of that was life. And the same is for you. You have the same access to the Lord of hosts that Hannah did. You have the same access to the Lord of hosts that David did. In 1 Samuel 17:45, it says, "Then David said to the Philistines, 'You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts.'" David had a clear understanding of what that meant. He understood that when he stood there to fight, that there was a heavenly array of army angels standing right there fighting with him. God's desire is to send aid to you regardless of the situation if you will stand and call on the name of the Lord and say, "I refuse to allow death in this situation. My children will love God. They will not see death. They will not see physical death. They will not see spiritual death until God calls them home, because that is the heritage of the righteous." God's desire is to birth such a security in your life in Him that no matter what is said to you, it does not crack through that shell, that armor of righteousness that God has placed over you. I'm going to tell you, church, that God's armies, that the heavenly hosts of angels that God will send in your time of need, can do anything that God desires for it to do. But you've got to get in alignment with God. You've got to say no to this death. No to this drying up. No to this withering. No to this not being fruitful. You've got to start saying, we've got to stop settling with every area of our life not producing life. We need to challenge God on His Word. We need to hold up His Word to Him and say, "God, we know You can do it because Your Word says You can." And we need to stand against death. This is what we saw Abraham do. I love this scripture. I love this scripture. Remember, Abraham was called. God told him to go and sacrifice. Somebody say it. Isaac. And in that, Abraham had to move into a supernatural place of faith. Abraham had to believe that even if he was going to obey God in death, that God was going to still birth life. And I'm going to tell you, I've been in some situations where I knew I was obeying God, and what I was saying in the natural should produce a death in a situation. But I'm going to tell you, God knew exactly how to birth life out of that. And it was out of my obedience that God birthed a supernatural array of holiness that only He can do. Have any of you ever been there? You're like, "God, I can't imagine what You are going to do in this, but I'm going to obey." Well, that's what we see Abraham was. It said Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, this is Hebrews 11:19, that God was able to bring him back to life again. And in sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. I don't care if it looks like death is all-consuming. God's desire is to bring life out of that situation if you call His name down on it. And it is a supernatural, a miraculous event when God moves. Now, the God, the Lord of hosts, is powerful. I love this because this is how Jesus had a strong confidence in this. Jesus understood what was on His side every moment He walked on earth. But I want you to know that God's desire is for us to have that same confidence. For that same understanding that no matter where I walk, no matter what I do, if I stay in alignment with God, I have everything I need at my disposal. Do you remember when they came to take Jesus? See, Jesus knew it was not His time yet to lay down His life to death. So Jesus made this statement. He said, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and He will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels?" How
then could the scriptures be fulfilled? But I'm going to tell you, Jesus knew if he called down on the Lord of hosts to come into his aid, he would be there. I am so glad that Jesus had a heavenlier purpose than I would have probably had in that moment. Jesus could see the bigger picture. But Jesus understood what he had in God. Now, I want to break down that for you because it just is powerful when you realize this. He said, if I had 12 legions of angels, all right? And I might have taught this before, but I don't know. I've taught this at other places. If I talk again, I'm going to teach it to you again. What legions means is we know that the man that had, his name was Legion. He had how many demons in him? Ms. Vashti, how many demons did he have in him? 1,000. Remember, he had 1,000 demons in him. So legion means 1,000. Okay? If you take into account, because we remember when one angel came down to earth and warred, he killed 180,000 bad guys. I like to say bad guys because that's Old Testament. Now our bad guys is demons, but still it was bad guys. All right, so it was 180 enemies that one angel wiped out. All right? If you had 12 legions, which would be 12 times 1,000, which would be 12,000, and if each one of them could annihilate 180,000 bad guys, that would be 2,160,000,000 bad guys that Jesus was saying I could have in this moment, in this season, if I needed it, because that's what my God does when I cry out to him. It's not my time for death. It's my time for life. That at that moment on the earth was double the population. I will almost triple the population of how many people lived on earth at that time. So you need to have this understanding like Jesus did, is that I was created to birth life. And at any moment that the devil tries to bring death to me, to my kids, to my family, to my job, to my spouse, I stand against it. But when I stand against it and I stand with God, I have the Lord of hosts by my side. And he outnumbers you by far, devil. There is nothing he can't take. And in that moment, God begins to birth in your heart a righteous fire that is just like Hannah. I will not live with death in my life. I will not live with death in my children. That's why Jesus said time and time again, I came to bring you life. His hand is here offering it. I came to bring you life and to have it more abundantly. Take it. Receive it. Look for signs of death. Because when you look for signs of death and you catch on to that's what's going on, all you need to do is allow the Holy Spirit to examine your heart and to show you what is in there. And whether it be a place the enemy has came and we've come into agreement in fear or insecurities, or if it's just like Hannah and the enemy has just tried to bring death, because that's what he does in any situation, all we have to do is allow God. Allow him. Because I'm telling you, church, he is so willing. He is so willing. There is nothing he does not want to pour health and life and strength and faith into. I had a friend yesterday I was talking to, and she was just talking about things that seemed to be so depressing, to where I even started to get a little depressed. And it took me a little bit, and I said, whoa, stop. We don't think this way. We don't think this way. We think God's thoughts and situations. So I'm going to be honest with you. If you are surrounded with people that do not think like God, get away from them. If you are surrounded with people that do not see life, that only see death, cut that cord. That is not healthy for you. That is not good for you. You should be around people that are constantly encouraging you, strengthening you, building you up, challenging you. Yes, you should minister to people, but your friends should be people that strengthen you. They should be people that encourage you. So that's my message tonight. I really wanted to just encourage. I felt it so strong these last 2 days. Church, we have got to look for signs where there is not life,
I'm going to read those signs to you one more time. Ready? Weakness, fragile, barrenness or bareness, decaying, confusion in our thoughts, chaos in our function, withdrawing or beginning to wither, or where we look, appear, or react unhealthy. All of those places are leading to where? To where? And God called us to do what? To be life. To bring life. So everybody close your eyes. We're just going to close in prayer this morning, tonight. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that your word is true. And it is sharp for than a two-edged sword. And it knows exactly what to cut out. And it knows exactly how to build up. Lord, I thank you that your word always, always encourages and strengthens and fills our life. So Lord, I pray tonight that this word does not discourage. But that this word, Lord, that people allow it into their hearts to encourage them. Lord, I pray that you will give them these eyes that see what you are doing. But they also, God, open up their eyes to areas where the devil is trying to wiggle in, where he's trying to get a foothold. And I pray, God, that as we see it, that we're able to humbly let you examine our heart. To humbly let you look inside of us. Say that with me, church. Say, Father, examine my heart every day. Help me to know what's in here. Because, Father, a lot of times we don't have a clue, but you do. That's the wonderful gift we have in the Holy Spirit, is that he sees all and knows all and does all, and he shares with us what we need. Father, I thank you for this week. I pray that they will go out this week and that they will be victorious and that they will be strengthened, but that more than anything else, that they will be dependent on you. That they will be dependent on you in every area of their life, and they will see their life be healthy and grow and be vital and to have a plumpness in all the spiritual and physical areas you have them connected with. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.